IT businesses in Sacramento, California.
From somewhere deep in the cloud and the corners of the earth, this is the Killing It Podcast, with a focus on helping you make sense and dollars of all things IT, with your hosts, Dave Sobel, Ryan Morris, and Carl Polachuk.
Welcome to episode 102 of the Killing It,
Killing It Podcast.
Hi, this is Carl, and we are having fun here, as usual, on a nice spring day. Welcome, everybody.
It's warm here.
Is it?
As the one stuck in cold, it's nice today.
So what constitutes warm in Virginia?
60 degrees.
That's legit warm. All right.
Seattle, Washington, 52 and bright blue sunshiny skies today. Not bad.
So all that snow is gone. That you came home from Hawaii, you got snowed on, and now it's all gone.
Exactly. It was very compelling. It really did change my outlook on where I want to be in this world. But now it has melted, and that's the way in Seattle. It snowed. Close the city, and then it melts off, and people remember. You remember that one time that literally we closed the city? Meanwhile, all of our friends in Michigan are like, "Suck it up, Buttercup."
Oh, I know. Those guys do not, they have no sympathy at all. But,
it's funny when you talk to people like in Toronto or Montreal and you ask them, how their weather is, they're like, it's winter, it's cold. Like, why do you want to talk about this?
Exactly. Why would it be anything other than winter and cold?
Because there are some places where it varies and there are some places that don't have it.
Winnipeg in February.
I always say no thank you. It's the reason I live where I do. I'll visit it in the nice summer months. That seems much nicer.
All righty. Well, episode 102. Do we have a sponsor today?
We do. We are brought to you by PCmatic, endpoint security built on a zero trust philosophy, allowing only trusted applications and blocking all the rest. Lightweight, simple to deploy, easy to manage. Find out about PCmatic's unique lead sharing program for MSPs backed by a primetime national TV campaign. Together, we bring advanced security solutions combined with more than sales enablement. We bring actual leads. Find out more about PCmatic by visiting pcmatic.com/MSP.
Very good. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors. And we have some fun topics today. So number one, I just thought it was just a great, great video that goes with this. Drone killing drones. So we're going to put a link in here, obviously. But the drone hunter sends out a net that captures a drone and then either sends it back down to the ground on a parachute or snags it and carries it off the scene. I think this is a very cool thing. And it sounds, at first to be just fun, but then there's some serious security behind this when you think about things that could happen at concerts or political campaign rallies, football games, that sort of thing. What do you guys think about the drone killing drone?
I got to be meta for a moment. If I create a drone that takes out the drone killing drone that's focused on the drone, how many levels of meta can I go with the drones till it reaches true absurdity?
Drone killing drone
iterations.
because you wonder, will I create a drone that takes down the drone killing drone? So, what you love about this is that they are now applying the technology to the problems that the technology has brought. because if you think about those drones over concerts, football games, public address that are not sponsored necessarily, right? You would need a drone killing drone. In a way, we have a failure of regulation and enforcement, or a need the tools to do that, where the technology created the problem and then interestingly enough solves its own problem. Very
Which
weird.
I mean, in it, as with anything in the world of technology and security, that is the natural evolution of our life cycle. I created a computer that needed to connect to the internet, which made it vulnerable to viruses, which meant that I needed to sell you an antivirus, which means around we go again, right? That is exactly what we're doing. But in another case of Hollywood teaching us what our future is going to be like, if you've seen the movie Olympus Has Fallen, if you're not a fan of Gerard Butler, you might not have seen it because it's the third installation of a not exactly cinematic installation, right? It's fun to watch, but the entire plot of it is you can take down the federal government with a swarm of gun-toting drones, because you could take out one big airplane, but you can't take out 10,000 micro drones that each have little guns attached to them, right? It's silly from a Hollywood plot point of view, but it's fundamentally necessary. This is why, Dave, you live in a world where you may not fly a drone over your house, where I live in a world where I can fly a drone over my house, because you live in proximity to much more interesting targets than I do, and therefore we have to limit people's ability to fly a drone. The problem with, the promise with drones is they're going to bring me a burrito, right? Because they can go anywhere, anytime, and be virtually in, like, you can't stop them. That's the promise of drones. But that's also the problem of drones if people use them with bad intentions. And as with anything in technology that was originally sold for good intentions, you know somebody's going to figure out a way to use it for bad.
Well, look, I got to say, the guys who wrote that movie have not thought enough about the realism of shutting down government. If you want to shut down government, just drop a bunch of snow on DC. That's really just how you, like, literally, that's, if you want to shut us down, it's not very hard. Just drop a bunch of snow.
All the drones just dropping snow on the city.
No bombs, 6 inches of snow.
Just snow, and then the whole city shuts down, and we all live in our houses for a couple of days.
Maybe this is the final element of the Gartner hype cycle, is that when your technology reaches the point where other technology is created to address your technology, then you're off, you know, you're done, right? So I will say, back in the real world, we have problems every summer in California because people, usually amateurs, go flying their drones around forest fires because they want to get really cool video footage. And the firefighters can't fly their planes through there because if you suck a drone through your engine, you're going to die, right? Because you're going to go down in the middle of a forest fire. So I have been always thinking, I think they should just have open hunting season on drones and anybody can shoot one down with their gun. But there might be problems with that as well. So this might be a better solution to that. And I could totally see the state of California buying a bunch of drone hunters to take out drones in forest fire areas.
Absolutely. See, if you can use drones to do part of the halftime show at the Super Bowl or the 4th of July fireworks, and you can program them all together, I think that's fascinating. And that's drones for a good reason. But what that means is those same drones can be programmed and controlled by software to go where you want them to go. And if there's thousands of tiny units, you might put up a net and protect yourself from most of them, but some of them are still going to get through. I believe that drones have tremendous commercial and social and business applications. And I'm a big fan of drones attached to the search and rescue unit of the fire department and the sheriff's department. There's infinite good uses. But anytime you give a tool to the general public, you know that the public is going to find a way to use the internet for not good.
Well, right? To wrap this into a little bit of channel thinking, right? There isn't necessarily anything wrong with the technology creating a problem that the technology then solves again. But be careful of how much that is leveraged because of what it does to customer perception. I think that's the one bit is like, you know, is you have to recognize that there's a certain wariness that people take on from the implementation of technology. If the technology creates so many problems that it then needs more tech, like you do have to be careful of that to make sure that you're balancing delivering enough business value to make sure that any of these side effects are worth paying for. And I think that's the one thing that oftentimes we don't always think enough about the downside. It's something that I like to think about a lot, is to make sure that we are thinking about the downside of technology so that we are not dragged down by those as unforeseen events and things we have to deal with down the road.
Well, you don't want to be the one who sold the technology and then was the last one to learn about the potential downsides of that technology. That really hampers your credibility. Whatever it is, if you sold somebody a computer, you should also sell them the cybersecurity for that computer, because the last phone call you want is, wait a minute, you sold me this and you didn't know that it needed to be protected? Wow, I don't take you very seriously anymore. Yeah,
no, thank you. Not buying more from you.
Well, it's interesting. The FAA has been pushing to get require GPS be built into drones so that we can track them. And that makes the drone hunter, you know, much more effective. But of course, we fall into the category of, well, but the bad guys will just unplug the GPS unit and then the drones will do whatever the hell they want. And there's nothing you can do about it. So
that, hence the drone killer drones. That's why we have to go there.
Very cool. Well, you know, I think we're kind of done with that topic, but I would love to hear anybody's feedback on, are you working with these? Are you doing anything with this? Are you, you know, you're working with a company that works with drones? We'd love to hear what's going on out there.
Absolutely. And keeping this in the spirit of new generations of technology, our second topic that we will shift to is now focused on robots and robots that are doing good things. Now, we've talked at length on this program before about industrial and commercial applications of robot technology, whether in manufacturing, in distribution, etc. This is a use case of a robot that's actually going to save your life as a lifeguard, because one of the drawbacks to a human lifeguard is they might not know where you are in the water to come save you, and they might not be able to reach you. But, and I find this article to be very entertaining as well as really enlightening, it is technology designed to deploy a robot under the water to where you are, cameras for visual sensing matched with GPS and coordinates, and then it'll pick you up and carry you back to the top of the water, whether you are conscious or not. Now that is a seriously benevolent application of robot technology. Thoughts from you guys on what you saw here and where you see the good guy technology going in the robot world?
I always think of stuff like this as proof of concept, or, you know, isn't it amazing this one thing that somebody can do with this one robot? But this one turned out to be, I never heard about it until there's competition, right? There's like several different companies doing this. So clearly it was an obvious need that I completely didn't see, which is why I'm not in the robot entrepreneur business.
Well, it's hard to predict. So for me, the actual bit was, it was a little less about the robot and more about the system that I thought was so cool. The idea of, hey, the idea behind where they're going with it is to put these robots like at the bottom, you know, down in an underwater docking station, and use AI to track swimmers and to watch and be able to make the decision on its own that there's a problem. I see a potential downside, but, you know, but there's this element of like, okay, that actually is really useful use of the technology to be ahead of the problem. I want to make sure that there's not a downside, right? I don't really want to be scooping up people that are not flailing and having a problem in the water by right. accident. But I guess I'd prefer that over letting people drown. So there's a balance to be struck there. That piece about it, the systematic piece about it, is what really interests me, where you couple data plus AI plus this technology to then go solve a problem in a more efficient way than humans can do on their own.
See, and that's that's the key right there for me. If it's a device that could do what a human does, though, as well as a human does it, well, let's just let the human do it. But if it's a device that can, A, stay under the water, which the human cannot, and therefore can do something a human would never do, and then be multiplied by the advantages of AI and automation and other capabilities of technology, now you have a legitimate use case where robots very well should replace humans in that application. It's, again, it's a happy use case because, hey, we're saving people, that's a good thing. But it's the illustration of a machine that isn't replacing humans doing the job a human could do. It is going far above and beyond what a human could ever have done in that job.
Although maybe it is replacing some humans. But what actually brought up for me was an interesting retraining kind of question. Because I do think about the, like, hey, do we have to retrain, reskill people? Do we now have to retrain a bunch of teenagers from a teenage lifeguard job? Like that's the beginning of their career. Like, are we taking away employment from a particular age bracket? Now, I don't want to be dismissive of those that are career lifeguard and those kinds of series, but we also have another group of people that are, you know, in that space. It's like it brings up some really interesting economic questions about who we might be displacing.
There is a certain element of displacement in that. I mean, kind of the premise of the article is lifeguards can't watch everything all the time, you know, and obviously the robot can't either, but this makes it a little less onerous on the lifeguard. So there is some sense that you would be displacing. On the other hand, it isn't clear that if you're only going to have one lifeguard, you're doing any damage by supplementing the lifeguard.
That's also true. And if it's supplemental, like we have both, then that's also another element of this. This was not the only robot you were interested in, is it?
No, see, because again, in the spirit of balanced journalism here that we always try to bring to you, for every use case where the robots are here to help and save you, the robots might also not be here to help and save you. Now, the second article we're linking to is of an art installation. It's not yet been weaponized by the government. I emphasize yet. But it's an illustration of, we've all seen that robot dog that is getting more and more motion realistic out there in the real world. And a group of artists to highlight the potential dangers of these robots has affixed a paintball gun to the top of it. And as I look at the illustration, it might be a paintball gun. It might just be part two of the Minority Report movie, because the machines are in fact trying to come to get us here. Thoughts on the negative application of robot technology from you?
I would pay to play paintball against a robot.
See, that would be very
I might wear extra padding because he's going to win, but I would definitely pay for it.
And I had to laugh and go, Ryan, you just aren't aware of the government's robots. That is a different statement.
Exactly. It's not that they haven't, it's they haven't publicized it.
I guess for me, I actually had to applaud the artists a little bit here for actually taking the time to illustrate the downside early and doing it in a way that resonates really easily and conveys the message. I'm going to put on my marketing hat for a moment and remind everyone, like, this is how you send powerful messages, by unique communication that resonate oftentimes through thinking about it more through an artist creative lens than purely I will drive my funnel marketing style lens. This is why content can really matter. Artists are an extreme example of that, but they're delivering a very powerful message about the technology using that creativity. And that for me was my sort of takeaway of, okay, I want to remind myself of, this is why we talk about good content mattering.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because our industry and our listeners, I think we're all comfortable enough as friends here to admit that our industry sucks at marketing. That's fine for us to say out loud, right? Anything we can do to make that more creative and more compelling is a good thing. But this seems like very much our first topic, right? If there's ever a good application, you should be aware of the bad application and be prepared to manage both sides. I'm a stan on robots and on drones. I think they're fantastic. But I do get reminded they have downsides.
I want to go meta on you again and just say, what happens if the paintball robot falls in the water?
Oh, see.
Is there a robot that will save it? That's the question.
Yeah, or would the life-saving robot only or prioritize humans and not other machines?
What happens if the paintball robot shoots the underwater robot?
See, now we're getting into the three laws of that Will
Smith. Let me go.
We're having almost too much fun, which leads me into a slightly more serious than topic. I will move us into topic three, because this is a pair of articles, and I wanted to talk a little bit thematically about this. And if I really look at it, sort of the pitfalls of implementation. The first is a piece from Bloomberg around Microsoft and their vaccine scheduling technology that has been used, particularly in D.C., where they've been, D.C. had a lot of three straight issues with their online registration software, which was directly linked back to Microsoft's implementation of this. And they were accused of the issues around that and the frustrations to have. The other piece of this was one that I spotted in the New York Times, which was focused on the idea of colleges that have been requiring virus screening technology without any actual scientific evidence that it works. They've rolled out things like fever scanners, symptom checkers, but hasn't really been studied to know if it actually did work, would work, or now has worked. There's no actual data of this. And so I'll throw out kind of my bit of my premise here. I think that there are serious negative consequences for moving too fast, although in both cases, this is a need to move quickly based on an emergency situation. So I'll ask the question then, guys, how do you balance that need to move quickly with the balance of getting it right enough?
Well, yeah, so, and there's another layer, which is that, you know, sometimes we put in these steps into our system that are completely unproven and unnecessary, right? Like checking temperatures and so forth. But I find it odd that Microsoft would put out something that was not awesome and amazing and worked perfectly under these circumstances. It's not like they had a week or a month. They've had a year. Like we knew this day was coming. And yet, and it's this isn't the only failure, right? Pretty much every state has got a similar story with some kind of system. So, you know, we find in cases such as going to the moon that when things absolutely cannot fail, they don't. And some of that involves spending a bunch more money, and some involves taking a lot more time and having a lot more checks. And it just seems odd to me that Microsoft would be involved in something that I would expect not to have obvious problems.
Well, on one side, I will say I have deployed version 1.1 of Microsoft technologies in the past, and I learned a lesson that
people don't die when Word doesn't open with the right format.
Precisely, right? And that's the thing, right? I will say there's two main takeaways from this for me. Number one, be careful what you wish for, because if you think that your technology is actually, quote unquote, mission critical, it matters that your stuff works. Now, we've been talking about this around cybersecurity or around automation and connectivity, collaboration. For years as technologists, we've been clamoring to say, no, our stuff's not nice to have, it's must have, it's absolutely required. Well, we live in a world where that's becoming more and more true, but the more true it is, the more stringent those requirements on quality control and systems testing before you go live, it's not okay to ship a beta out there and say, a contest for finding bugs in my software. That's cool for non-mission critical applications. That is not funny when you're trying to do life-saving technologies. And this is a perfect implication of that. The flip side, right? There is this technology industry mentality of moving fast and breaking things. And I hope that what we have learned in the last 10 years is that that mindset is not acceptable in a world where technology actually does important things. if it's Facebook and you're moving fast and breaking things and you unhooked some digital links to people's photos and they got sad with you about that, move fast and break things and come out with another iteration tomorrow, congratulations. Dealing with people's vaccines, dealing with cybersecurity, with physical surveillance and security, national security, do not use the move fast and break things philosophy. Be systematic and deploy things that work.
I would be remiss if I did not point out that they broke democracy over there at Facebook too. So
yeah, yes, they did. Know, again, downsides so, to that yeah, business model. So,
and that is a purely unintended consequence. Look, I think for me, one of the bits here was the, we need to perhaps think about ways to incentivize more around these infrastructure investments around technology more than the flashy stuff. Like, I mean, Microsoft, and I'm picking on them just for a moment as the example, right? So, okay, so they screwed up the vaccine rollout. But you know what they haven't screwed up? Xbox Live. Now, is it because of the motivations? Is it because of the finances behind that? Like we need to make sure that we're incentivizing the investments here. By the way, I know I put this hat on reasonably often. By the way, this is what, in my mind, government is for, right? There needs to, this is why we put an investment in this, because is the free market necessarily purely going to solve this
well,
piece?
Well, I would part of it.
Well,
the... This, I would point out, we have 50 different states and, you know, the provinces in Canada that every single year are able to get millions and millions of vaccinations for flu, pertussis, you know, everything you can imagine, very efficiently, keep track of everything, not mess things up, not throw away a bunch of unused vaccines. And it may just be the case that we should have invested in a system that already existed instead of creating a new system simply because we have an unlimited budget because of the nature of the problem.
That, I think you are absolutely correct on that front. When it matters, use something you know actually works. But to bring this back into the practical application for our audience in the technology channel, what you sell is interesting. How you implement, deliver, and support that technology is not only mission critical, it's the differentiator that creates competitive advantage. You can sell me a Microsoft Dynamics implementation. I could sell you a Microsoft Dynamics implementation. It's the very same software. But that doesn't mean that you deployed it as haphazardly as I might have deployed it. And if you are using that system to balance the books for your enterprise, implementation matters. And no vendor, not Microsoft, not a tier two or a startup technology vendor, will ever have the breadth of human resources to do a quality implementation for every local install. That's why we have jobs in this thing we call the channel, because we are local and because we pay attention to implementation. Microsoft maybe not only should have used a proven system, maybe they should have hired a solution provider to manage the implementation.
Ooh, there we go. Ryan throws down
there
the
you go.
A little bit. this is a great headline, right? And I'm going to make the endeavor to try and track that more. Because it makes a great headline, oh, Microsoft screws up the implementation. I want to understand more about the why. And I think that it is important for us to when we talk about these things, to say, I want to understand more about this, more than just the, oh, they screwed up. Like, I want to actually track this a little bit further to find out what can we learn from this. Because, as you know, maybe there was a solution provider, right? Maybe there was their own services wing. Let's find out. Let's dig into this a little bit more, because by the learning of it is also what we can take away from it.
Well, and, you know, I would say nothing against Microsoft, but they just won a bid. That's all. That's the only reason they're involved.
Right.
why didn't Amgen or, you know, Merck, like, why didn't somebody else win this bid who's already in that game, right? And I may be ignorant about Microsoft's involvement in medical technology, but They're not the first name that comes to mind for me.
Yep, I would agree with that. And again, lessons learned here. If it matters, go methodically and make sure stuff works before you roll it out and before you make promises about whether or not we can, in fact, save people's lives with this technology. We like to have a lot of fun with these topics about robots and drones that save people's lives and whatever. That's fun to discuss, but when you move to execution, let's be very methodical about how, not just what.
All righty. Sadly, that is it. We've wasted another 30 minutes of your life with episode 102 of the Killing It.
Killing It podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Killing It podcast. Please share with your friends and tell everyone to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the podcast places. Join us next week and help us keep killing it in the technology business.